Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, reading from the 21st chapter, verses 25 through 36. Hear these words. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your hands, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Thanks be to God for these words that come to us from the Gospel of Luke. Well, if you haven't caught on yet, today is the first Sunday of Lent, of Advent. I'm jumping ahead. Advent. I digress, but I actually did that to Debbie this week. I handed her the bulletin, and I had changed the second, the third, and fourth Sundays of Advent to the second, third, and fourth Sundays of Lent. She said, "Is this what you want?" Glad she caught. Let's try that again. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. The Advent wreath is before us and brings the faint glimmer of a solitary candle, the candle of hope. Hope. These days, hope seems far away. Every time the TV is on, there is breaking news, the special bulletins and newscasters appear with bad news, it seems. And it all seems to be more and more frequent, calling us to pay attention, to sit up and take notice. Do you get that sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach like I do when that music starts and the graphics change to special bulletin? I used to always hold my breath a little when they came on, and now it seems so frequent that I often hear myself saying, "Now what?" And more often than not, I end up shaking my head and wondering, just what is the world coming to? Hope. The dictionary defines hope as a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen, a person or thing that may help or save someone, grounds for believing that something good may happen. And then there's the archaic definition, a feeling of trust. And as a verb, the want something to happen or be the case. Hope. Only four letters and the definitions, well, they don't seem like much to me. And then, of course, there's the synonyms, aspiration, desire, wish, expectation, ambition, aim, goal, plan, design, dream, daydream, pipe dream. Things like optimism, expectation, expectancy, confidence, faith, trust, belief, conviction, assurance, promise, possibility, hope. I guess I always thought there was some kind of deeper meaning to the word hope. It flows so easily off our lips. How many times a day does the word flowed into my vocabulary, which always makes me think of the Sandra Bullock movie, Hope Floats. I hope it doesn't rain or snow. I hope this dish I'm cooking is edible. I hope I don't overeat. I hope my children are okay, and my grandchildren. I hope they're happy. I hope whoever is doing good after their surgery and recovery, I hope. If that's all there is to it, why is it such a part of our Advent celebrations, our journey to the manger, and even in our journey in this life? Why do we sing about it and talk about it so much? We've always wanted to be people of hope, it seems. 2,000 years ago, the people hoped for a Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, to come and rescue them. They needed to be saved from the oppression that they lived under, the fear for their very lives, the cruelty and injustices that were the order of the day. 2,000 years later, we're still hoping. Today, we can witness the cruelty and inhumanity that is inflicted a half a world away and oftentimes in our own backyards. And we can do that any time of the day or night. And yet still we watch and we wait and we wonder and we hope. Emily Dickinson wrote, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all." I like to think of it as that which tickles my soul with those feathers, that which makes me sing and makes me laugh and makes my soul smile despite everything that's going on around me. The writer of Hebrews says, "In the same way, when God desired to show even more clearly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it by an oath, so that through two unchangeable things in which it is impossible that God would prove false, we who have taken refuge might be strongly encouraged to seize the hope set before us." We have this hope, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters the inner shrine behind the curtain where Jesus, a forerunner on our behalf, has entered. Hope. It's more than desire, but something which affects our entire being, our souls, our hearts. Hope that even in this day and age in which we live, there is something more, something not to fear, but to celebrate. Something that will meet us where we are in unexpected ways, something that indeed we can celebrate. 2,000 years ago, a special bulletin interrupted the night sky. And an angel appeared and said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That should be hope enough, even for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.